and Rob for that time. Thanks for being here and worshiping with me. Wow, what a day the Lord has given us to gather and praise and celebrate. So as you can see, not only are Dick and Carol not here, and Rob has blessed us with his presence and leading worship, but we've got some chairs back here, and there's three of them. Well, there's only one of me, and although I ate a lot of candy last night and intend to do so again tonight, I don't need three chairs. I don't need three chairs yet. So we got a special day today. I'm going to go ahead and invite Chris and Paul to come on up and get the chairs situated. So considering everything that we've been through over the last couple of months, looking at what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what it means to be the body of Christ and the bride of Christ and what our calling is and how we're to serve Him. And then we have taken some time and looked at Ledge Rock specifically and what is our vision and our mission and how are we going to fulfill that and go through that. We've taken time to look at all of those different elements. And I got to thinking about some of us may need a reminder or possibly hear for the very first time how we even got to here, how we got to where we are today. And let me tell you, if you're new to Ledge Rock, you're in for a treat. I believe this church has been through a very Spirit-led, miraculous change and transition over the last several years. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be a part of that as we look to the future. So what I did was I met with a couple members of the search committee that helped explain to me who Ledge Rock is, and then how I would be called to lead in the going forward. And so I asked Chris Ellerbrook and Paula Hill to come up here and help us all together kind of reconnect a little bit with the past as also with the current and even looking forward at the future. So we're going to take some time this morning. I'm going to ask a couple questions and we'll go from there. And I've got a little message when that's done to kind of help, hopefully like Pectin, bring it all together and gel it all together and solidify and bring body and all of that good stuff that Pectin does that we talked about last week. So we got these chairs, and of course we're living in crazy times, so we're doing our best to distance and all of that. But anyway, I've got a couple questions for Chris, and some of you may or may not know Chris, but why don't you fill us in a little bit on kind of who you are and maybe what your history is here at Ledge Rock.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. I am currently the coordinator here, but I've served in different ways in ministry over the last many years, and I guess you would call me a lifer here. The joke is that I started attending here 9 months before I was born, and with the exception of a few years living down in southern Minnesota and then at college before I met Jill, I've been a regular attender here, and this has been my church home, so this is a pretty special place in that regard. And my faith story started here when I was pretty young. I was blessed to have parents who brought me to church every Sunday and shared who God was to me. And also many of this family here that were here at that time, some of you are still here, did as well through Sunday school and other things. And so I had the privilege of coming to know the Lord when I was very young, like 6 or 7 years old, and baptized here shortly after, right in this tank. And
right here.
Yeah. And so my story isn't super exciting in some ways, but also just really good because God was good. And I had parents that raised me in a way that taught me what I needed to know about the Lord. And so I, you know, had some time in college and in high school years where I was pursuing more worldly things, but praise God that His Holy Spirit kind of called me back. And my wife and I moved back here in like 2006, and we've been serving here and enjoying being a part of this community ever since. So that's kind of my story of my involvement here with this church.
You guys are hoping that I'm going to fall through the baptism tank, aren't you? You're like, maybe that door will give way, and yeah, well, I hope it's reinforced. I don't know.
Paul has been working on reinforcing it.
So. Yeah, very good. Chris, we've gone through a bunch of changes here at Ledge Rock in the last, you know, years. Catch us up on what are some of the highlights of sort of the history or progression from the old days to where we are today?
Yeah, and maybe just a quick way of kind of solidifying this. How many of you are here today have been here attending longer than 10 years? Raise your hand. Okay, how about longer than 20 years? Okay, there's a few here still. Yeah, so a lot of you maybe don't know all of the history of the church, and so I'm just going to kind of hit a couple of highlights here to kind of help bring us up to where we are today. So for those of you who don't know, this church started in Winton, Minnesota many years ago in the early 50s, and started with just a few founding families that started meeting together. And in pretty short order after that, they moved to Ely. They used a few different places for meeting and eventually built the Little Red Church up on the hill on Boundary Street, which is just behind your house, the parsonage there. And so that was the church for many, many years. It was Ely Baptist Church at that time. We are affiliated with the Baptist General Conference. That's what it was called at that time. And years later, they changed their name to Converge. And so when you hear Converge, just know that that's our Baptist conference that we're a part of. And the church flourished during those years. Had a number of different pastors. And in the early 80s was when the church went through a time of visioning. There were some people in the church that had some amazing vision for building this church here. What was kind of crazy about that time was that this was the early 80s. Economically, Ely was very depressed economically. Very difficult time. People were without work. And so this idea of building this great big church that was way bigger than the congregation needed at the time, but the vision was for growth, people thought that was kind of nuts. So when we started building this church, there was buzz around town, like, man, what is going on? But what was also really neat was that the church was able to hire and provide work for some of those people that were without work, including my dad here. And one of the neat memories that I have of that time was I was just a little kid, probably kindergarten, and Ann Hubbard, I don't know if Ann's here today, but Ann, I remember this vivid memory of Ann bringing all of us kids from her Sunday school class, all of us little kids down here. There wasn't even a roof on this yet, just a big beam across the top. And I remember coming in here and we prayed over this place. We prayed for the Lord to multiply what was happening here and that he would bring people here and that he would bring people to Christ. So that was a pretty neat and special moment. So that was a really neat opportunity for us to like also witness to the community, to provide work for people and just to show them what we were up to. Fast forward to, I think it was 2016, we were in the process of looking for a new pastor. And we were talking with our conference, and the people at our conference suggested that we take a different approach than we have in the past for looking for a pastor. They encouraged us to slow down and to think about where we'd been and what we really needed in a new pastor first. And so they suggested that we hire IPM, somebody from IPM. IPM was Interim Pastor Ministries, and it was an organization that they highly recommended, and it was a place that provided interim pastors. And so we found Angus through that process. And how many of you remember Angus? Pretty much everybody here probably. There's a few new people here that maybe don't remember Angus. And so Angus was very instrumental in helping us through a time of transition. The reason for transition was for us to evaluate where we'd been, what we needed in a new pastor, go through some visioning work, and I'm drawing a blank here. Let me check my notes here. I got a little bit. Maybe Kurt, why don't you go ahead? Did you have any follow-up questions?
No, the transition period is interesting and so beneficial, and having an outside team like Pastor Angus serving through interim pastoral ministries gave him a unique position to help really ask some difficult questions as a short term. And so, tell us just kind of how that fit together to get us. We'll talk about where we are today more in a moment, but.
Right, so that's where I was drawing a little bit of a blank there for a moment. And what Pastor Angus led us through was a time of evaluating what our leadership structure was like, how that worked, and maybe where we could make improvements on that. So during that transition time, we spent quite a bit of energy looking at our vision, looking at how our leadership worked, ways that we could improve that, and then also what did we want in a new pastor that would complement that. So that was a big part of that transition period.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Paulie, I think you're up to bat here for a moment. Why don't you take a minute and give us a little bit of your faith story? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do. Thank
you. Good deal.
I was born and raised in Minneapolis. I was a part of a very loving church-going home. I did not know the Lord. It wasn't something we talked about. As a young woman, I did explore a number of avenues of faith, and that led me to actually putting a plea out, saying, God, if you're real, I really want to know you, and that was my heart. When I was 20, I made a trip with friends. I moved to California, and along my journey there and when I, where I ended up living, I met a number of Christ followers who shared their testimonies with me. And I went to a Billy Graham film, and that's when it really solidified in my head. The Lord was working and showed me that I was a sinner and I needed the grace that Jesus offered. Mm-hmm. So, yes, in fact, I am a Christian. I made a commitment to follow him and asked him to be my Lord. I came back to Minneapolis, which was my hometown. I attended a year Bible program, and then I felt I needed to do a little bit of restitution or reconciliation, I would say, with my own family. And I did get married, and I was very involved in youth ministry for about 20 years in a large church. I just love kids, and I see some kids up front here that I know and enjoy. And a job opportunity brought my first husband and I here to Ely to a camp, a family camp, and so we were there together 5 years. That job ended with a very painful divorce that I went through, very dark time, and a verse I really clung through, I think about often. It says that I know the plans that I have for you, for good and not for harm, and to give you a future and a hope. Excuse me. And that hope was what I was like, God, what are you doing here? So I ended up getting a job in town with a local canoe outfitter. I was their office manager, and that happened to be Andy Hill, who obviously God had a plan because we later got married, and he's been a very dear person in my life. So we chose to come to Ely Baptist in about 2002. And the reason is, first of all, just the Christ-centered biblical teaching here and the warmth of this family, which I still see and am grateful for.
I'd like to joke a little bit about Andy hiring his future wife, but I'm just going to leave that for time's sake. So this morning you opened us up as the SOT member of the week. So what is SOT? What's that stand for? And who right now makes up this mystery SOT?
So many people say, what does that stand for? So it's Spiritual Oversight Team. And the idea was created during our transition time to separate what we would say the needs of the church and the spiritual needs. And so we have the deacons and deaconesses who are meeting as our care ministry, and we, a part of the spiritual oversight team, meet to help be a part of the decision-making processes here for our vision and our mission. The people involved, if anybody, let me see who's here today. I know Gary Roderick's a part of our team, and Dale Anderson. And then Dick Larson is gone today. And also Carol Stauffer. And over here is Linda Solem and myself.
Very good. Tell us a little more, maybe dive a little bit deeper into kind of how we arrived at this leadership structure. And if you want to go into any specific details about this current leadership structure.
Well, I do know that our transition team looked at the model from Acts chapter 6, where Peter was looking at how they were ministering to those new Christians and found that the people that were putting effort into doing the spiritual teaching were also trying to take care of the physical needs. So that was part of the big decision in separating how we used to operate and create this team who would meet together, which we do bi-weekly every other week, sometimes weekly. And our purpose is to lead this church alongside our pastor, to come alongside him and together minister and really hold to what the vision and mission that we've created, that we support that.
Very good. I know you personally really find a lot of joy in serving in your role as part of the SOT. What's so special about serving? What do you appreciate so much about serving within the SOT?
Well, it's a relational ministry, just like the other things we are emphasizing in our church. And I think the gifts that each of the persons on our team bring is what brings me joy, to see how God uses each of us in our gifts to both challenge and encourage each other. So I think that's really important.
All right. We're going to pull the veil back for a second. Give us a little glimpse of these super secret SOT meetings. What goes on at one of these meetings? Are there good snacks?
Oh, no, right now there isn't, but yes, in the past there was. So I think the first thing that you need to know about us is that each of us have been called and want to serve you very deeply with our hearts, asking God for his wisdom and everything that we do there. So when we meet, we have a devotional time that one of us has prepared, and then we take time to pray for you guys. You are on our hearts and minds, and always asking the Lord, you know, God, what is your vision and mission for this church? And so we talk about a lot of stuff, and we're also there to be available for people who have questions about our church, or if you have an idea for a ministry, that is who we are. We're here to help look at, does that fit the vision and mission of what we're about here at Ledge Rock?
Very good. All right, one final question for right now, and that is there anything else that you think would be beneficial for not only us here today, but also those joining us online, even in the future, that they would benefit from knowing more about the SOT? You've covered it very well. But anyway, is there any final thoughts about the SOT?
I think the one thing I would ask of our congregation, that this is a new system that we're using, that you would trust us, and we just prayerfully ask for your prayers too, that the decisions we make are really done in such a prayerful manner, and hopefully for the good of us all. And so that would be my prayer from you, and that's it.
Okay, very good. You can fill us in more on the romance at the Canoe Outfitter that led to your marriage later. That'll be a different interview, so
all right.
Thank you. All right, Chris, you did a very, very good job during the search process of explaining to me this whole new, well, I say Chris, everybody, the whole search team did a great job. I can remember some of our lengthy conversations that you specifically explained to me how the pastor fits in with this whole new structure. And so can you kind of fill us in, what's the role of the pastor in this
sure.
new system?
Sure, yeah. So stepping back just a little bit, do any of you remember the very first sermon that Angus preached when he came here? Anybody remember that? All right, well, I'm going to give you a little reminder. So when he came, he preached on Ephesians chapter 4. And his point for that message was to remind us that we are all the saints. We are the saints. And that's a hard thing for us to remember. We don't think of ourselves that way. And what that chapter is talking about, too, is that we are all called to ministry in different ways. And we sometimes forget that. And we sometimes expect that the leaders or the pastor are going to do everything. And that's not what we're called to do. And so he reminded us of that. He asked people, even raise your hand. Are you a saint? And it was like, I'm not sure. Yeah, okay, I think I am. But what was wonderful about that was the beginning of a process here for us as we went through this transition team. It reminded us that as we looked for a new pastor, that that person wouldn't be the be all do all person. That person would be somebody that we hired with a purpose. A purpose to, and then let's get into that, because I think that's ultimately what your question was.
You're on a roll. Go ahead.
Yeah. So really the primary function for the pastor in this current environment is an equipper. Angus referred to himself as the nipper. But but the same idea is that he's equipping, you are equipping the ministry team, or the spiritual oversight team. You are discipling them, and you are helping them through a process of multiplying and taking that to the next level for those people to disciple others, etc. You're also a teacher, a preacher, and that's a big important part of what you do. And you're definitely not a do-all, be-all person. You've come here with a specific set of skills, and that is complementing what we've already begun to work on here, and it's more of a wide approach to it, where everyone is in doing something in ministry throughout the church. That's the idea. And also to help cast vision and encourage the congregation. That's a really big part of it. So that's kind of I'm paraphrasing here. Obviously, sure. There's a lot more to it. But the idea is that we understand that we are all called here to be in ministry and to serve in this church and in our community and even across the world. And so you are just one important part of that.
All right.
I hope I answered that question.
No, I think so. Yeah. Very good. Wish we had like time or the ability to have a sort of a Q&A if there were any, but we're not going to take that time today. But if you do have questions or would like more information, feel free to talk with either Chris or Paula or myself after worship. Set up a time. We're always available to meet and explain in even more detail. But I feel like you guys did a great job of just kind of giving us an overview of where we're at. So how about a round of applause? These guys aren't used to speaking normally. Yeah, I said, well, yeah, you guys can sure head down. We'll do this in a conversational mode, and so hopefully it will, you know, would work out, and I believe that it did. But again, this was part of just gelling everything that we've been over these last few weeks. I'm going to grab my pulpit and stick it back up here for a second because I got a doozy of a message for y'all here this morning, so. Actually, I'm just going to try to really put it together, and I thought I would take where Pastor Angus began and kind of address that just a little bit. But those of you that know me know that I am 48 years old, which is really young. We've established that over the last few weeks, and so I am a child of the 80s. I grew up in the 80s, born in 1972. And so the 80s were, that was my decade. I love the big hair. I love the 80s music. I love 80s television. And maybe one of the most important of all of our TV shows back then was the A-Team. Who knows a little bit about the A-Team? Yeah, some of you youngins are like, A-Team, what's, you know, what in the world is that? But yeah, the A-Team, well, the A-Team was, of course, a hit show, ran for quite a few years, lots of episodes. It was a great team of guys and a gal that got together, and they accomplished impossible missions and worked hard together and did great stuff. And I mean, Mr. T was part of that, and who doesn't just love Mr. T? And I pity the fool that doesn't love Mr. T. But led by the leader of the A-Team was John Hannibal Smith. I didn't even know he had a first and last name. I just knew him as Hannibal. Hannibal was the guy that led everything, and Hannibal had a favorite tagline. Does anybody remember? If Kevin Gustafson were here, I'd say he would give you $20. If you remember, what's Hannibal's favorite tagline? There you go. That's right. I love it when a plan comes together. That's what Hannibal would say all the time. I think we've got a little montage of that, so sit back and enjoy.
I love it when a plan comes together.
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 Colonel, love it when plan come together.
You bet he does.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I love it.
When a plan comes together.
I love it 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 when a plan comes together.
I love it.
when a plan comes together.
I love it 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 when a plan comes together.
He loves it when a plan comes together.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Well said.
So Tim came up to me before church and said, man, did you get us hooked on Alone? We are watching like all the series of Alone. So now I see an uptick in A-Team searches, and some of you are going to go home and watch the A-Team after after church. But I love it when a plan comes together, and I love how he says that after planning a plan and then executing the plan and seeing how it all comes together. And we've taken weeks upon weeks to take an in-depth look at Jesus's plan. What his plan was for rescuing lost sinners, bringing us into his grace through his life, death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. We see Jesus's plan as he reaches out and saves lost sinners, bringing us into his body. We've looked at the plan for his body to be his hands and feet here and all over the world. We've looked at our plan and how it is that we're going to fulfill that mission. We've just taken so much time and really dissected what his plan is and then what our plan is for fulfilling that. And so today is the culmination of all of that stuff. And so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And as I've said so many times over the last few weeks, this is so not a sermon. We don't have time for that today. This is just a quick look at the scripture. I'd like to reserve the right to go ahead and preach this sometime in the future as it fits in with where we're at the time or where we're headed. But what an amazing scripture. What a powerful passage to remind all of us what Jesus's plan is and then what our unique roles are within that plan, because I love it when a plan comes together. Look with me if you've got a copy of God's Word. If not, we've got it on the screen here. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, as well as us today, and he says, and he, speaking of Jesus, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning, with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Pray with me. Father, we've come this morning just so glad to be here, to be worshiping together and hearing how it is that you have planned out your purpose for us to come to faith in you, to serve you, to bring you glory, and to bring others that are still lost in darkness into the light and into a saving relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray for your continued presence with us, not only right now, but in these coming days until we gather back together. I pray that you speak to our hearts today as we look at your word. And Lord, just help us to know you more deeply. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So you'll hear me. I don't say Christian very much. I like follower of Christ. I like born again believer. I like disciple a whole lot better. The deal is every disciple is vital and valuable to the plan that God has laid out for his church. And every one of us have a unique role in that plan. And there's way too much, as I said today, for really a full sermon, just a quick, some quick thoughts about this passage. But those of you that have gotten to know me over these, well, it's been a year since y'all voted to call me. We didn't move till the beginning of December. But those of you that have gotten to know me, I'm sure would unanimously agree that I am just a saint. I mean, a saint. Amen? Okay, you got to get to know me better, because my wife and kids would tell you that I am, my parents would tell you that I'm a saint. My grandma would tell you that I'm a saint. But anyway, I'm a saint. I am a saint. I'm a saint, and so are you. So some of you are like truly a saint, and I am so glad to be a part of your life. But the deal is, I'm a saint, and if you are a follower of Jesus, you are as well. We're saints. The church, the body of Christ, are saints. If you've got it, look at 12. If not, just follow. I'll read to you whatever. 12 says, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. Now, when we think about verse 12, equipping the saints to fulfill the body, to do the work of ministry, because it makes the body healthier and function better, it's a maybe a very unique thought for some of you. That's why we're taking the time to kind of wrap this all up and put this into perspective, all the work that's gone in over the last few years, and today we're actually living it. We're working out the growing pains and the process of what this looks like, but it's amazing, and it's actually quite freeing and liberating to think about it this way. And of course, verse 12 comes from verse 11 that talks about the gifting, that God has gifted every believer with spiritual gifts to serve Him by serving others, to be part of the body, and to function each part of the body in a healthy manner, that the body works well because all the parts are functioning together. It says, and He gave Himself some to be apostles and prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What's the pastor and teacher's job? It's to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Well, I'll stop there. Equipping the saints. So the definition of equipping, some years ago, Caleb broke his arm radically. I mean bad. His arm went like this, 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 and like bad, not good. He fell off of a deck and landed on some huge roots, and he got up and he says, it's bent, it's bent, it's bent, and it was bent. It was bent bad. Broken. It took a lot of procedures to get it back lined up again. And that's what the definition of to be equipping is, to set right, like setting a broken bone, to set it correctly straight again, set it right. And another word to describe what it means to equip is restore, like taking a classic car and fixing it up and making it new again, making it right, restoring, restoration, and setting correctly. So why is it important for the pastor, teacher, leader to equip or set right and restore the body, the saints, to do the work of ministry? Well, it says right here, to build up the body of Christ. This was all about building each other up, making us more and more like Jesus. Look at 13, the next verse, and this explains to us why this is necessary, why this happens, or what happens when we do it. 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Why is it important for your leaders to equip you and then release you to be the body, to do the work of the body, to build up the body? Ultimately, it's to be unified as the body, working together, recognizing we're all different parts. We need all these different parts, but to build up the body and ultimately gain maturity. boy, is mature. That's the end goal. When you boil down our vision, which is building relationships, it comes from building relationships with Jesus and with each other to help solidify the relationship with Jesus. That's a maturing or a discipling process. That's what drives and gears who we are. Gears and drives who we are here at Ledrock. It's about growing mature disciples that can grow other mature disciples. That's what this is all about. That's Jesus' plan for the church as well as then our plan. Now, some of you may not have heard, but there is an election coming up in a couple of days. Maybe you haven't heard that, but there is an election coming up. And I know there are some of you that are like, finally, he's going to talk about politics. Finally, he's going to address the election. We're going to hear from the pulpit who we ought to vote for and the evils of fill in the blank on that party. Guess I'm going to pop your balloon. No, I'm not. I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm not going to address that. Many would like me to, but the answer is no. Why is that? Because there is lots and lots and lots of that information available. In fact, it's hard to get away from that information. That information, whatever you want to your news to be, it's one click away. You've got it and more of it everywhere you turn. You'll see both sides, your side, the other side, middle sides, and all. It's everywhere. That information is available all over. That's not my place. Our vision is to build relationships, not destroy them. And as you get to know me, you'll find out my passion is for Jesus. My passion is for the world to come to a saving personal relationship with Jesus. I serve a king. I serve a king. And so my passion being about Jesus and instructing you on Jesus, the deal is the clearer you see Jesus, the more you know about Jesus, the clearer these types of decisions become in your own life. The more you know about Jesus, the more passionate love affair relationship you have with Jesus, the clearer every decision in your life becomes. When you base it on Scripture and a Savior that died for us, was buried and resurrected again, defeating sin and death and hell forever, the more you look at Jesus, the more the answers that you're seeking are just, they're clear. It's not that difficult. We're not faced with a hard decision in front of us coming on Tuesday. We have two radically different people. You either agree with one, or it's not like there's undecided people out there. What I want above everything is for people to pass from death to life through the open arms and the blood of Jesus. And I will never let my political views or yours get in the way of a born-again love affair with Jesus. Jesus saves. Right now, we are only passing through for a very, very short time. I believe every American has the obligation to vote. We need to be educated and do our best. Hear me, but the kingdom is far more important. I've heard for my whole life, this is the most important election coming up. If whoever wins, we're still here, and Jesus is the constant. He's still on the throne. I want you to know more about Jesus. The more you know about him, the less you need to hear from me about any of that stuff. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, "Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and thrown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit." When you look at scriptures like verse 14, you see how important growth and maturity in your faith is, because as we know more about who he is and what our roles are, and as we do our roles and act as the body and build each other up, we grow in maturity, and then we're not deceived by false teachers. We're not driven here and there by whatever our news or the media or some talk show host or whatever. It doesn't matter what they say, because we're solid in our faith. and the more solid we become together as a body, united around Jesus, just the less we can be pushed around by the comings and goings of this society that we live in. It's all about, I love verse 14, when we do all of this, when the plan comes together, then we will no longer be like little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning and cleverness and the techniques of deceit. Our job together is to encourage each other into maturity in faith, that we're not blown around. We're not vulnerable or susceptible to whatever media we may plug into or whatever, because it's clear through the lens of Jesus. Look at how vital you are in this process. Look at 16. From him, from Jesus, from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, from him, the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body for the building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Do you see how vital you are? Do you see how necessary you are to make this work? You and I together need to grow in maturity, serving and doing our part, filling our roles, using our spiritual gifts, joyfully united around the cross of Jesus, building relationships with him, building relationships with others, knowing and growing, serving and going. As you and I do that, when we stand before the throne of God, we'll get to hear Jesus, King Jesus, say, I love it when my plan comes together. Let's pray. Father, thank you again just for the time here today that we can be your body placed in this place to know each other, to know you, to love each other, to love you, to love others, Lord, to be you in the darkness. And we face a time of incredible darkness and chaos, and this world needs Jesus so much. And so, Lord, I pray that you will use us. Give us a spirit, a fresh renewal of our faith, that we can literally and figuratively be you to each other and all over, that you are so glorified. Father, forgive us for our sin, and Lord, use us to help each other grow in our faith, because that's your plan. And Lord, I do want to hear you say, I love it when my plan comes together. In Jesus' name we pray, and the whole body said, amen.